If I followed every word that people have told me I have a word from God for you, I would be like a yo-yo. So you have to evaluate it, discern it, pray over it, and wait for confirmation.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Mark Cho. Great to be with you again on Straight Talk. Some of you have been asking about our teaching series. Typically when I teach, I do a series of 4 to 8, 9, 10 messages, and we make those available in a cover with all the CDs, the full length of the message. So if you want to order the entire series that you hear on this radio program, then you can go to our website, www.straighttalkchicago.org, and email us ordering the series, or you can always call our telephone number at 773-585-3300. And ask for the entire series. Typically, we give the name of the series at the beginning of the message and the message title as well. That way you can listen to the entire series uninterrupted and get the full scope of that teaching. So get ready to listen and hear the word with open hearts.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue in Pastor Mark's series in the book of Nehemiah entitled Rebuild, Your Life, Your City, Your World today. And our message is entitled, Keeping Focused in the Midst of Distractions. We'll be in the book of Nehemiah chapter 6. Here's Pastor Mark with today's Straight Talk.
Several years ago, I had this guy that just, he would write me these nasty, just vindictive, harsh letters pretty much about maybe twice a month. And he attended the church. So on Sunday, I'd see him, I'd say hi, he'd say hi to me, just kind of go on, you know, hi, how you doing? Good, good, you know, move on. And I never acknowledged that I got his letters. But I say hi to him, let's say. And one day he stopped me. He said, I'm so mad at you. I said, why? Have you got my letters? I said, yeah. You mean the nasty, vindictive, harsh letter? Yeah, yeah, I've been getting them. Well, how come you're not saying anything about them? I said, well, you never asked me to respond, or you didn't say, let's talk about it, sit down. So I just figured you needed to vent. So I'm letting you vent. I'm letting them slide off my back. And so, you know, it seems to be therapeutic for you, seems to be good for me because I kind of understand where you're coming from, and it's okay. But when I talked to him face to face, he was sort of meek and mild. In his letter, he was ferocious, bad, tough, really angry. And here's the thing. Here, let me give you just some advice. If you have something good to say, say it in writing, because writing is permanent. If you have something harsh to say, say it face to face so people can see your face, see your expression. You can put an arm around them and just put it in the right context. So if you have something tough to say, say it face to face in person without a crowd around. Some of you wait till a lot of family members are around and then you decide to lay it on. Don't do that. The Bible says, in fact, by the way, if you have something against a brother, the Bible says take that person aside in private. Don't bring your little entourage, mother, father, cousin, sister, neighbor, and say, hey, we want to talk to you. No, talk to that person in private. Clarify it. If they don't respond, then you can get more people involved. But do it in private. And so Nehemiah is being attacked by the rumor mill. His motives are being questioned. And I want you to see how Nehemiah responds. It says that Nehemiah, look what it says. It says that verse 8, I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. I like that. Period. Signed, Nehemiah. I mean, you know how long that took for him to write? 2 minutes. You know what Nehemiah was saying? I don't want to waste time with this. He's basically saying, you're wrong. That's fictional. I'm not sure what you're smoking, but that's not true. And he moved on. He didn't stand there. He didn't go back and forth. He didn't say, what's your evidence? What's your proof? He just said, move forward. Let me tell you something. Your track record should speak more volumes about your life and your history than anything else. If you have a good track record, let your track record speak for itself. Amen? Let your example, let your track record, let your lifestyle speak for itself. Because most unbiased people, if they look at you and you've had a good track record, they're going to disregard rumors about you if you have a good track record. So let your life speak for itself. Notice what he says. But Nehemiah, it said, verse 9, they were trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. Really, this whole thing was about discouraging them. You know, there's nothing more discouraging sometimes than rumors about you or criticism about you. How about it? Have you ever felt a rumor, you hear something, just knocks the wind out of you? Ever happened to you? They said, what? And you're like, wow, that's so not true. Just knocks the wind out of you. And look what Nehemiah does. He gives him a brief response. He refuses to get caught up in this game of you said, I said, they said. And he turns to God and he says, but I pray, now strengthen my hands. He looks to God and he says, God, basically he's praying, God, encourage me. Encourage me. Strengthen my hands means lift up my hands because they're tired. You know, sometimes there's not going to be anybody around. You're going to put an arm around your shoulder and say, hey, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. Some of you are in work situations where you are busting your tail, working hard, trying to be faithful, doing what, and people are talking about you, and no one's saying, hey, I see your good work. I acknowledge it. Sometimes you need just look to the heaven and say, God, give me strength. And there's something powerful about the Spirit of the living God, the Paraclete, as he's called in John, the Comforter, that in our moment of need, God, via his Holy Spirit, can just come down and whoosh, give you this sense of, I am with you, and if I am with you, don't worry, because everybody in the world can be against you. When I am with you, I can encourage you. Has that ever happened to you, where you've gone to God and said, I am tired and discouraged, God, help me. Number three, jot this down. I'm talking about how to stay focused in the midst of distraction. Number three, remember that distractions can come disguised as a form of spirituality. So learn to discern God's voice from the rest. So Nehemiah's opponents try to get him into a dialogue in the plain of Ono, and he sees past that and says, no, I'm doing a big work. I don't want to stop. Then they start rumors about him and attack his motives, and he refuses to get involved. He says, that's not true. God strengthened me, and he moves on. Now, this is the most devious distraction, the most subtle, below-the-belt kind of distraction. It's the pseudo-spirituality distraction. Now, look what it says. It says, one day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, a son of Mehitabel, who was shut in at his home. And he said, who are these people? Well, besides being people with weird names, they were people that were prophets and prophetesses. They were religious people. People that were known to be the people of God, religious orders. And so they speak to Nehemiah and they say, let us meet in the house of God inside the temple. And let us close the temple doors because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you. So these people that claim to be prophets, they're known to be prophets. They're religious, respected people that are probably involved in religious ceremonies and so forth. They come to Nehemiah and they say, hey, Nehemiah, we got a word for you. Shh, 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 shh. What's the word? Hey, there's this conspiracy to kill you. But you see, we're men and women of God. We got a word from God for you. Great. What is it? Go to the temple, lock yourself in, close the door, and save your life. Well, that sounds okay. I mean, what's wrong with going to the house of God? The Lord is my refuge, my high tower. It seems almost biblical. Run to the temple, lock the door, put benches against the door, and say, God, here I am, don't let him kill me. That sounds about right, doesn't it? Wrong. You see, here's the thing. Not everybody that comes to you whispering in your ear that they have a word from God for you is from God. That may be a flash to some of you. But do you realize that not everybody says that thus saith the Lord is from God? Now let me clarify here before I move on in this section. But let me just say that I do believe that God speaks, and I believe that God gives us words. In fact, in the New Testament, it talks to us about that, and it says that do not despise prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is a word that someone gives to us for that moment and that time from God. That's a prophetic word. And the Bible says, do not despise prophecy. You know what despise means? Despise means that you look down on it and say, ah, that's nothing. That's a bunch of baloney. I'm not going to believe it. You know, God doesn't speak. It says, wait a second. Do not despise prophecy. But then it goes on to say, but test that which is good and cling to that and cast away that which isn't good. So here's the thing. Don't despise prophecy, but make sure that you test it, discern it, and make sure that it's from God. Because not everybody that says, thus saith the Lord, is speaking from God. So, by the way, as a personal note, I can tell you that, I've had a lot of people come up to me over the years and say, Pastor, I got a word for you. And you say, well, what do you do? Well, I have a word file. If you go to my office at home and you open up my desk, I have a vanilla envelope there. And on the top it says words. And so when someone comes to me and says, I got a word from God for you, then I say to them, would you please write it out? Because first of all, I want to make sure I don't misunderstand, because oftentimes it's in a moment of busyness or right before a service, someone corner me and say, I got a word for you. So, okay, all right. Write it out. I want to make sure I hear it clearly. Secondly, I want you to write it out because I don't want to despise it. I want you to write it out and I want to evaluate it. And here's what I know, that God doesn't speak solo voices. That typically what God does is God will confirm it through other people, through inner peace in myself, through other individuals, through his word, and there'll be multiple confirmations about something that God is seeking to get you to do. Not one solo voice that's telling you something, thus saith the Lord. Are you tracking with me? So you have to evaluate it, discern it, pray over it, and wait for confirmation.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Keeping Focused in the Midst of Distractions. It's from our series called Rebuild Your Life, Your City, Your World. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Nehemiah chapter 6. Our message, keeping focused in the midst of distractions.
If I followed every word that people have told me, I have a word from God for you, I would be like a yo-yo. Woo, 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 because I'd be all over the place because there are a lot of people having all kinds of funny words. And so we need to discern it, not despise it. So they came to Nehemiah and said, we got a word for you, Nehemiah. You need to run to the temple, lock the door, hide yourself in there. Now, here's the other thing I want you to make sure you understand about words. God does not contradict himself. So remember this. If you ever get a word that violates or is contrary to the revealed written word of God, then you can be sure that it's not of God if it's contrary to what's already revealed in Scripture. Remember that. And I don't care if you say, well, you see, Pastor, and I've had multiple conversations of this, and I don't despise, I believe God shows up in supernatural ways. You can have a vision. But, you know, if you come to me and say, Pastor, seriously, I was in my room. It was nighttime. I wasn't asleep. laying on my bed, and there it was. Boom, this angel. Flappy wings, halo around, really bright. And this angel said to me, "Hey, you." "Go marry that person." And you say, "Pastor, this is a vision, a revelation. I mean, I know it's got to be from God." I'd say, "Okay, well, wait, whoa, whoa, slow down. First of all, who is that person?" "Well, I know if it's another married person currently married to a spouse already that, first of all, no, wrong, no, not from God. I know if it's an unbeliever that the angel said, go marry him, maybe you can convert him and get him to follow Christ. I know that's not of God either. And here's what I know. The Apostle Paul says, though an angel from heaven reveal to you any other gospel than that which we have already preached to you, let it be a curse." What Apostle Paul says, I don't care if it's an angel and his cousins, flapping wings and glory and filled and light. If an angel speaks contrary to the word of God, be assured of this, it's not the right kind of angel. It may be a fallen angel, a wrong vision, distorted, because everything that God brings, everything that God has, can be imitated and duplicated in the realm of the dark realm. Are you with me? You see, anything good of God can always be duplicated some other distorted way. I don't care if it was an angel. The question, I don't doubt that you saw an angel. I don't doubt that you had flashes of light and heavenly visions. The question I ask is, what did it say and what was the message? And if that message contradicts what's already revealed in the Word of God, here's what I can guarantee. It's not of God. And I have people all the time saying, "Well, you know what? This person said that something appeared to them." Okay, you know, if something appeared to you, if people are going to some tree because someone had a vision about a tree and they're lighting candles and kissing a tree and holding a tree and hugging a tree, listen, you say, "Well, they say it was a real vision." Well, that's fine. But let me ask you this. Does it bring glory to God through Jesus Christ? If it doesn't, it's not of God. "No, you, Pastor, you should see. You see the sap coming down that tree. Doesn't that look like Jesus' face?" I don't know, it looks like Che Guevara to me, or I can't really tell real good. The point that I'm making is this, is that just because you feel like something supernatural, test every spirit, test every experience, and you need to understand what is the message that is being proclaimed, because there's a lot of stuff out there that's said in the name of God that's not necessarily of God. The other thing I want to say, by the way, if you have the gift of prophecy or discernment or God gives you word, I don't want you to be intimidated. I would share those. My life has been deeply touched at times by people that have come and said, "You know, I sense that God is leading me to share this with you," or "Here's a scripture passage," or whatever. So I would encourage you to do that. But can I caution you about saying, "God told me to tell you"? Now, I believe that God speaks. And I don't question God's ability to speak to us, but I'm really, be very careful when you say, "God told me to tell you." Because I think that's a dangerous, those are dangerous phrases to say. Because you go around telling people, "God told me to tell you," means like, it almost makes it sound like you can't be wrong. And here's what I understand. God cannot be wrong, but you are not infallible. And God's message is always clear, but your antennas sometimes are fuzzy. Just so you know that. You know? And so I'm much more comfortable with people. I get nervous around people that raise their voice up and say, "Oh, say the Lord God Almighty," and say, "God says." I get kind of nervous about that. Like, first of all, why do you have to shout it out, and why do you have to use King James language to say it? And I'm a much more comfortable with someone that says, "You know, I've been praying and I sense this and I just want to present it to you," because what you're presenting yourself as is a fallible person that's submitting something that you sense of God, but you understand that you can be wrong as well. I'm much more comfortable with that, okay? Are we tracking here? So, here's what Nehemiah does. Nehemiah says, "Should a man like me run away? Or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. I realized that God had not sent him." Well, that's a revelation. That takes some spiritual discernment. He says, I realize that person wasn't of God, really, even though he's a prophetess and a religious person, I realize he's not of God. And he says, but that he had prophesied against me because of Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this. Now, let me ask you this. What sin was he committing? Well, here's the thing. Nehemiah knew Scripture. If you can read in Exodus 29:33, Exodus 33:20, and Numbers 18:7, if you were just a regular civilian, you did not have the right to go in the temple whenever you wanted to and close the door and lock yourself in. It was reserved only as a right to the priest. So Nehemiah would be sinning against the law of God to run into the temple, close the door, and act like he had the right to do so. But since he understood Scripture, he knew that he would be violating Scripture if he were to do what they asked him to do. Do you understand? It was important that Nehemiah knew the word. Some of us don't know the word, so we're looking for a sign. Oh, let me say that again. Some of us don't know the word, so we just look for a sign. Lord, well, I don't know. I'm just confused as whether I should really initiate a relationship with this married man. He's unhappy in his marriage anyways. He told me that. And his wife's already thinking of divorce. Should I initiate a relationship with this person or not? Oh, Lord, give me direction. Okay, if I see a blue car pass in the next 3 minutes, that'll be a sign from God that it's a yes. Okay, Lord, here you go. Let me see. No. Blue car, yeah. God gave me a sign. Now, why are you dating that guy? Because God told me to. Wait a second, do you realize how off the chart you are? Because if you knew the word, you would be clear about that, no, that's forbidden territory, and you shouldn't initiate a relationship with a married man, period, unless you're his wife. And you wouldn't have to ask for a sign because you would know the word, and the word is clear about it. And when we walk in ignorance, oftentimes we need supernatural signs to confirm what's already clear in the word of God. So know the word. Fourthly and lastly, in times of victory, distractions are not eliminated. They just hide in the shadows waiting for a better time. So, Nehemiah sees through the false prophecy. And he says, verse 14, remember Tobiah and Sanballat, oh my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who've been trying to intimidate me. Nehemiah had greater fear of God than he had of them. Lastly, verse 15, so the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. Verse 16, when all the other enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. I love that. Let me just point out a couple things about this. Jerusalem lie in ruins for how long? 141 years. The wall had been torn down. How long did it take to rebuild it? 52 days. Okay, what is 52 days? A month and a week? 2 weeks? So think about this. 52 days, a month and a couple weeks. Imagine something had lie in ruin for 141 years, and in 52 days, it's rebuilt. And I want to say, how come no one did this before? And why did they have to lie in ruins for 141 years? Wasn't there anybody in 141 years that had the courage, the boldness, the leadership, the spiritual guts to rise up and say, hey, this shouldn't be this way. We need to change it. Where were the leaders, I want to say? Here's the thing I want you to understand. There were leaders and there were people and there were people that tried. The difference, the hand of God was on Nehemiah. Do you remember how long Nehemiah prayed before he started rebuilding the wall? He prayed 100 days. He prayed and fasted for 100 days. Now, he didn't fast the whole period of time, but he prayed and fasted intermediately for 100 days. And think about it. He prayed and fasted twice as long as it took him to rebuild the wall. 100 days prayer and fasting, 52 days to build it. Why? He went there with a lot of prayer and a sense of this is God. And when the nations around saw that he had accomplished this supernatural work in such a short amount of time, it said they knew, as a matter of fact, that God had to be involved in this. This must be a God thing. Because in human power, this could not be accomplished.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Job in Chicago with the second half of his message called Keeping Focused in the Midst of Distractions. It's from our series called Rebuild. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E, .com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.